Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Christopher Wallace, the co-founder and president of InnerView, a marketing consulting firm. Now, this pod is all about internal marketing. What is it? And do you need it? Thanks for downloading. Now, internal marketing is usually thought as something only big companies do, but there is some room for SMEs and smaller businesses to use some of the tactics. Chris explains some of the techniques involved in marketing to your staff, why you should do it, and he also offers a couple of great examples near the end of the podcast. Make sure you listen to those. You can find Chris at innerviewgroup.com and also on LinkedIn as well. The links are in the show notes, so click on them. Can I quickly also mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free, so I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media, subscribe as well on your favourite podcast app. Lots of links are in the show notes. Now, the first thing I asked Chris was to explain exactly what internal marketing is.
Well, John, internal marketing, the way we look at it is, any audience that you're trying to influence in this day and age, you have to look at like they're an audience to be marketed to. And we think that includes employees, partners, you know, or people that represent your company in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, we look at it as, you know, everybody thinks of themselves as a consumer these days. They don't take their consumer hat off when they go to work and then put it back on when they leave. They think of themselves as consumers all the time. And, you know, we think that organizations, if they really want to move and motivate their people, they should look at them as an audience to be marketed to.
So are we talking about trying to help employees to promote the company to the wider public, to the company's customer? Or are we talking about trying to get the message of the organization over to the employees themselves internally?
I think it's, to be honest with you, both. In our world, it's a combination of those two things. Most of the people we work with are customer-facing employees. So, you know, if you're really thinking about the challenge that we're trying to address for organizations, it's that the corporate team, the company, the marketing team, whomever it is, has this vision of who the company is going to be. And then when the customer shows up to interact with the company, whether it's, you know, in a retail store, through a call center, whatever that contact point might be, you know, usually human to human is where we focus. Does that vision come through in that experience that they have, you know, with the person serving them? And, you know, I think we all know that the answer to that in too many cases is no, right? That doesn't really come through at that point of contact. So we're really helping organizations drive that message down to their people. So, you know, we always talk about at InnerView, we talk about belief, confidence, and pride. The person standing in front of the company, or excuse me, in front of the customer, needs to have belief, confidence, and pride in what they're representing. So that's what we try to drive.
So it's kind of like making sure that every employee of the organization supplies a similar sort of experience to the customer at the other end.
That's right. Yeah. We always say the output of what we do is a great customer experience. And it's a customer experience that traces back to the strategy. Most companies don't have strategy problems, to be completely honest. It really comes down to execution. Do you have, you know, alignment in your organization of what needs to be done? And then people who not just are capable of doing it, but want to do it. We really don't believe that the traditional, you know, if you were to ask sort of what, how we're asking people to think differently, it's this idea that the typical corporate training department that will create a bunch of content that tells people what to do and then expect that they're just going to go do it because someone told them to, it just simply doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, sure. Do you kind of like get any bite back of kind of like becoming the corporate drone as such, that sort of image? Or does it depend on how you present the strategy to the employee? Because I'm thinking of lots of drones all behaving. I'm thinking of basically McDonald's.
Yeah, no, I'm going to use probably the most overused phrase in marketing, which is authenticity.
Yeah.
But let's talk about a couple of brands that do this. And let's talk about whether or not they're corporate drones. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're in the UK. One of the brands that comes to mind is Virgin, right?
Sure.
Think about Virgin and the, it's actually ironic. Our biggest client, for lack of a better phrase, their chief operating officer is really what her role is. She came from Virgin in the UK.
Right.
And she's a huge advocate for internal brand. She used to say brand love, like really driving brand love throughout that organization. And when you think about the authenticity of the Virgin brand, it doesn't feel like corporate drones, right? It feels like people who actually care about where they work for, who they work for, and have fun doing it. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. It manifests itself in these energized people who believe in what they're doing, not people who are reading off a script or doing exactly what they're told.
And what do you think are the main benefits for the company from all of this?
Well, so we're big believers, and I do a lot of writing and speaking and things like that. And we truly believe that we're in an age where the only thing that sets brands apart is the experience, right? Products and services are all commoditized. You can get everything from multiple different sources. Think about anything from your mobile phone to your banking services to, for crying out loud, a mattress, right? You can get a mattress, go online, click buy. The next thing you know, this rolled up thing shows up on your doorstep. The way that you buy is more valuable than what you buy. I think that goes for products and services. So the companies that can really, really have a clear vision of who they want to be, the vision has to turn into actions, right? We want to be the best experience out there, you know, whether it's luxury, whether it's low cost, whatever the case may be. If that's following through all the way down to the actions that happen at the point of customer contact, you simply win more deals. You win more customers. And probably the most important thing is you keep them, right? If you deliver on that and you're consistent on that, you win them and you keep them at a higher rate. And that's what most organizations are trying to do, right? Is win more customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like it's kind of like building a strategy to make the customer like the company, like the brand, and like the employee.
I would actually flip those two. I think it's a strategy to make the employee like the company that they work for,
sure,
and feel good about the company that they work. The way we do this is we don't think of this in the typical sort of what I'd call employee engagement model of make sure they've got a comfortable desk chair and that they've got a well-stocked, snack pantry. Yeah. And that's employee engagement. We're truly focused on really help them understand, help them see, help them develop their own vision of what makes their products and services great and what makes them valuable to customers, and then sort of unleash that out into the marketplace and customers get to experience it.
Yeah. Do you think like the snack tray mentality is kind of like dying down a little bit? I mean, if you mentioned authenticity as well, and it's funny because there's a lot of companies, particularly tech companies, giant companies nowadays, which will try and be authentic and put across this image that all our employees are having free meals, free snacks, they get free this, free that, we look after you. But then when you actually turn around and ask that employee, ask that colleague, I'm thinking Facebook here, really, that they're not very happy in their job.
Yeah, I think that the we as an organization, one of our core philosophies is that you put people in a position to do good work. And in our case, it's really, the good work means serving the customer well. And that drives satisfaction in the job. We don't believe that perks aren't engagement. I don't believe that incentives drive engagement. I that's not true. I know incentives don't drive engagement. That's not what people care about. Engagement is I show up to work, I do good work, and if I serve customers, I see the fruits of that effort in happy customers, thankful customers, repeat customers, and there's gratification in doing a good job and serving people well, right?
Yeah.
And we truly believe that it's put them in a position to do their job well, put them in a position to serve their customers well, and their satisfaction with their job is really going to take care of itself no matter how many snacks you give them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So can smaller companies, smaller businesses use this type of strategy?
Absolutely. The reason I'm pretty direct in saying I don't think that we've come up with anything particularly revolutionary here. All we've done is we always talk about reframing the issue here. As soon as you start looking at the people who work for you as people to be won over, as opposed to people to be told what to do, you've gotten in this internal marketing mindset.
Sure.
And it truly is this idea of setting the bar a little bit higher of not just telling them what to do, but convincing them, not convincing them, but helping them see why that's the right thing, why that's good for them, why it's good for the customers. That's marketing. I always say that, marketing is behavior change on a mass scale. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to drive behaviors. You're trying to drive people act in a certain way. But corporations have gotten good at marketing, yet somehow have continued to get worse and worse in finding ways to reach the people inside their own organizations. Well, what if the marketing people started having a little bit of fun with the employees and made it fun for the employees and started doing some of the same exact things that they do to reach customers inside their own organization? So I don't care if you're large or small, bringing a marketing mentality to shaping perception, that's what you're really doing here, is you're shaping perception. If you look at it as driving compliance, you're 30 years behind the curve.
Sure. And do you think for management and leadership, particularly I'm thinking owners, directors, CEOs, people like that, if you're working in a small office, you might have your 10 strong staff actually in the same office with you, around you. Are we talking about the communication on a constant basis of pushing forward this idea of what the company does and helping the employee grow more?
Yeah, I think so. I would say yes. I think that it goes beyond communication, though. I really do think that soliciting input, soliciting feedback is probably the right word. We typically work with the brands we work with are larger brands, but we developed a tool called the Brand Transfer Score and the Brand Transfer Study. And it does exactly what it says it does. We are measuring how well the brand, the vision for the brand is transferring from the corporate, the corporate team, or I say the corporate team, it could be the director, the CEO, the leadership, down to the various audiences inside the organization. Are you effectively getting one story across? That typically works better with large organizations, but that doesn't mean that smaller companies can't be, polling their people or getting them into a working group and saying, what do you think the vision is? What's your view of it? What's your attitude, your perception? There's a difference between drilling it into them and helping them arrive at the conclusion themselves. It's frankly not harder. It's just a different approach. It involves asking more questions than it does, necessarily driving words and messages out and content out. But having that two-way dialogue, we believe, is the fundamental piece that can help any organization, large or small, do this.
How do you get buy-in from employees over this? How do you get past that, I've got something else to do now? Or have you just got miserable employees if they are thinking, oh God, there's just not something else for me to do now?
No, I think it depends on how you administer it. I think any organization that decides that they're going to evaluate what their people think of their strategy, any kind of strategy, marketing or not, but evaluate what their people's perception is, get inside their head a little bit, you're going to be winning, right? That is the first step. And it doesn't have to be terribly challenging or a huge time commitment. When we build a brand transfer study, it takes weeks to build a custom brand transfer study for one of the brands that we work with. But it takes 5 to 7 minutes to complete it. So on any internet enabled device, the people on their team now have a voice in the process. This is all about, I don't want to say that it's strategy by committee, because that's not what it is at all. It's understanding their perception of the strategy. So when you go to really drive them to execute it, you can understand where they're starting from. If you understand where they're starting from, it gets easier to move them from where they are to where you want them to go.
So if we're looking at, say, a small, medium company, an SME, who would run this? Would this be HR's department? Would it be marketing, a little bit of both? Or would you bring in a new role to look after this sort of thing?
I don't think it necessarily needs to be a new role. We believe this ultimately sits with marketing. We believe that the marketing side of the organization, as time has gone on, and I think especially through the pandemic period, the role of marketing, I think, just continues to expand. The role that marketing plays, if marketing is looked at as the people that are there to drive demand, just drive demand, and then whatever happens from there happens from there, I think that's a big mistake. Or drive, drive brand awareness, or ultimately is to drive, new business opportunities. If marketing is just setting up the pins and doesn't play a role in trying to knock them down, I think that there's a real disconnect. And let's be honest, that's where most organizations are. Marketing is really focused on pushing the message out. They're focused on communicating with the customer, but when it comes time for that customer to come and interact with somebody from your organization, from your company, what that experience looks like is usually disconnected. So small business, large business, we think that this really does sit with marketing.
So how does social media fit in with all of this? Because I'm sure it does somewhere. I mean, are we talking employees having personal, professional profiles?
Well, I think that what we're... So social media is really interesting. An advisor of ours who used to run global marketing for the Cadillac brand in the auto industry, you know, her take is, she always says to us, social media is the social media is what makes the marketer's role even more difficult in this day and age, because they have the ability to communicate with customers instantaneously. They have the ability to sort of deliver that brand message instantaneously, and the ability of most organizations to keep up with the way they're representing themselves on social media, and sort of the minute to minute, the real time dialogue with customers is very challenging. Making sure that the organization is completely aligned, to what's being said through social media is very, very challenging. So the speed of it makes it challenging, but in terms of how it's used, we're not necessarily talking about, if you're a small company, yeah, you should probably have your employees, you know, should be active in social media platforms and promoting your company. I mean, everybody's selling, everybody's marketing when you're a small organization. So that should be the case. The larger the organization gets, I don't know that that's necessary, or I would even encourage it.
Yeah, I think on social media, particularly in the business-to-business world, it's full of sellers, isn't it? It's very, very difficult to find those buyers.
Absolutely, for sure.
So with the fact that people do a lot of research nowadays on products and services, online, on YouTube, social media, you know, the whole content marketing thing, do the employees, does what they put on social media influence purchases, do you think, or can it?
That is a loaded question. That the question you just asked could be a show in and of itself. I'm going to try to answer it. I'm going to try to answer it as succinctly as possible. This is what I would say. So your question was, does what they put on social media influence it? I think the answer is to some degree.
Right.
But what I ultimately believe is that the digital part of a customer's journey, no matter what they're looking to buy, unless it's a highly specialized purchase that they're looking to make, for most products and services, there is an overwhelming amount of choice and an overwhelming amount of information. By the time that person gets ready to go make their purchase or consider their purchase, they typically have their heads filled with so much stuff that they're not able to sort it out. The access to information, in my opinion, and from what I read and research I've seen, it's actually making the customer's job harder, right? So what does that mean? The customer's head is filled with all this information that they saw online, all these reviews, especially for larger purchases. Their heads are filled with so many things. They don't know how to sort it out. And by the time they get to a person, they need help. People have assumed that the customer has their mind made up. It's absolutely not true.
Right. That's really interesting, actually. And it does actually make some sense, doesn't it? Because, I mean, you can read 100 reviews and get 100 different opinions.
So I'll give you probably the best example that you can think about is purchasing a television. Okay. Yeah. The average person is going to do a pretty good amount of research to buy a television. There's so much technology out there. There's so many options. There's so many brands, so many price points. And that person's typically going to do some online research. A friend of mine who's actually a marketing executive, he and his family moved and he was in between roles. And for fun, he got a job at a large national electronics retailer here in the United States. And who will remain nameless, but people can guess.
Yeah.
And he went to work in the home theater department where he was helping people, you know, consulting with people on their television purchases. And I asked him, when somebody walks in, what percentage of the people that came in thinking they were going to buy one brand, can you flip to buy a different brand? What percentage of the people who came in saying, I think I want a Sony, can you sell a Samsung? Or I think I want an LG and you sell a Vizio. He said 9 in 10.
Right.
9 out of 10 people that came in expecting to buy one thing, I can switch them to a different brand. So the reality is the online research actually, in my mind, what we've researched, creates more question and more doubt in the purchaser's mind, not less. They need that expert. They need somebody to walk them through. They need somebody to really represent the brand and what the different facets are. And that gives you the opportunity, again, to win more sales. The better you are at that, you can be flipping those people and switching them out.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it does make sense, to be honest with you, because the message is always going out there that the customer does all their research online, they know what they want to buy before they enter your store. The role of a salesman has depreciated because we all do that research beforehand. And you're saying that's not actually, it's still actually like it used to be 20 years ago.
In the B2B world, I think that, you know, again, I read a lot about the B2B world as well. And the idea that the 60% of the buying journey is over before they ever talk to somebody from the company that they're, you know, yeah, or prospective company they're looking to buy from, I'll buy that to some degree. I think that, you know, in the B2B world, it's a little bit different. There's a big difference in spending your company's money versus spending your own money.
Yeah.
And when I think about the average consumer, I truly believe that the internet has created it's information overload. The average person can't sort it out. And in the industries that we work in, it maybe even goes more so when you start talking about things like, we work with a lot of home, you know, home goods companies. So companies that manufacture and sell goods, you know, anything from windows and doors to flooring to wall coverings to you name it for the home. And those are pretty big ticket purchases. And the average person has no idea how to make that purchase. And even frankly, the ones who think they do, by the time they start doing their research, they leave their research phase more confused than when they started.
Okay, so are there any examples you can share of how a marketing department would engage their employees? What sort of tactics would we use?
Yeah, so there's a large, I mentioned manufacturing and home goods. There's a large manufacturing company that we work with here in the States. And we went to them and said, they were rolling out a major new program to their sales team. And their sales team sell into independent retailers, and then the retailer sells to the end user. And their sales team needed to be locked in on this program. It was a big shift for them. They needed to get this right. And we did our brand transfer study, and we got some great feedback from their team. And we asked them, in every brand transfer study we do, we ask, how do you want to get this information? And or it's so funny, organizations don't ask that. They create training. They put stuff up on a SharePoint site. They put it up on an intranet page. But they never actually ask, how do you want to consume this information? You know, internal marketing isn't some revolutionary concept. It's simply just taking a marketing mindset to the way that you engage the different people in your organization, in your channel partners and things like that. So an example is the typical product or program rollout for this company was a webinar. They would take their sales team before they went out for their sales calls on that day. So it would typically be like an 8 a.m., you know, 8 to 9 or 8 to 9:30 webinar. And the person leading the effort would get on the webinar and they would tell everybody what they need to know.
Yeah.
They'd stop the webinar. And by the way, that was typically a conference call. It wasn't even a webinar like in 2020. Now they're Zooms or their Teams meetings. So at least there's video now. But before, it might not have even been that. So they share some slides. They share a PowerPoint. They click close on the session, and then they wipe their hands, glad that's over with, and they just expect that everybody's going to go do it, right? They expect that people are going to go out there and run the play. But the reality is that wasn't happening. So, I mean, how could they expect that it would?
Sure.
So what we said to them is, okay, where are these people going? What does their day look like? So we tried to understand our customer, and our customer being the sales team. They're in their vehicles all day. They're driving from appointment to appointment. They're going from, you know, strip mall to strip mall, calling on these independent business owners. So we created a podcast series for them. So the leadership team would get on a podcast. We'd solicit feedback on the topic related to this larger strategy that people, you know, needed to know more about, that they wanted to be more fluent in. And we would program the podcast series internally around what the audience wanted to hear, what they needed to learn, where they felt like their messaging might be a little bit weak. And we do it in a fun, engaging format. We'd post these up on the tools where they could access them quickly. And now they could drive from appointment to appointment and consume this content in a more engaging format than if they sat through this webinar that none of them want to sit through. So just by listening to our audience, that's one example. Another example, frankly, the best example that we've ever found for driving any of this is peer-to-peer engagement. We ran a session for a large consumer brand a number of years ago where we got all these teams in a room. There were all these major initiatives happening all at the same time. And most of the sales team was unclear on them. We got him in a room and we asked him a bunch of questions. And we got the salespeople talking about it. They did all the talking. We just asked all the questions. And people would leave these sessions and they'd say, that was the best training I've ever been in.
Yeah.
They weren't trained on anything. All we did was give them the opportunity to share their perspective on what do they think the customer needs to hear? Why do they think it adds value? And by hearing it from one of their peers, it went a lot further to driving their change in behavior and their change in perception than if a trainer stood up in front of the room and showed them a bunch of slides. So those are just a couple of examples.
It's fascinating. Chris, I could talk to you for ages, especially about the authenticity side of all of this, because I've got a lot to say about that, because there's a lot of brands out there which are trying to be like people, and it's just painful, isn't it, to watch when you see it out there. Absolutely painful. Where can we find you, Chris? Where's your website? Where's all your social media bits?
Yeah, so we're website is Innerview Group, InnerviewGroup, group.com, like taking an inner view of your company. InnerviewGroup.com is our website. Social-wise, a best way to find me is through LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Now, my name is extremely common. So Chris Wallace, you're going to find a number of those on LinkedIn. I'm in the Philadelphia area, so you'll find the Innerview symbol, and you'll find the Philadelphia next to my name. That's a good way. And through the website, we have all of our other contact info up there so people can visit us that way.
Fantastic. I'll leave some links in the show notes as well so we can find that easily. Chris, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
John, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Chris for his time. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out the links in the show notes and say hi to Chris on LinkedIn. If you've enjoyed this episode, then you can subscribe for more. There is more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.